We're holding on Lamed Omer Aleph, the sixth line. We're in the middle of talking about, we started yesterday learning a machlokes between Rish Lakish in the name of Levi Sava versus Rabbi Yochanan. The question is, there's a process of shchita, of course. You have to cut through one pipe in the case, or a roiv of one pipe in the case of birds, two pipes, or the roiv of them in the case of animals. How much of that cutting is considered part of the actual shchita process? Do we say, there comes a point, of course, where it's a valid shchita, namely where you've shechted most of the one or two pipes, as the case may be. Do we say only that moment is considered the actual moment of shchita, and everything else is just kind of leading up to it? Or do we say that entire process is considered part of the shchita? So first we had said there are some cases where everybody would agree that the initial part of it is part of it as well, and in particular if a goy did part of the shchita. And then we talked about what happens if he does one simen outside the azara and one in the azara, or what about if he does a little bit of the simonim outside and finishes it inside. In any case, Rish Lakish holds, we said, that einel shchita elo b'soif, the last moment when the shchita actually becomes a valid shchita, that's considered the actual shchita, and everything else is just leading up to that. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan had said, yesh nel shchita mitchil v'ad soif, from the beginning to the end is all considered part of the shchita process. So the Gemara had brought up in that connection something involving the Parah Adumah, and we explained that we can make the Mishnah about the Parah Adumah, which we can make work according to either one of the opinions. At the end, we said actually that there is in particular we have a machloikas Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim whether two people can be shechting kodshim or whether you can only have one person shechting them. We brought a drasha from a pasuk saying that one person can't shecht two animals at one time for kodshim and two people can't be shechting one. It comes out, we said, that only Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon would hold that you can't do that. The Chachamim would hold that you could, which we'll have more about that in the next Mishnah, So like Moses, Mosiv Rav Idi Ba'oven. So Rav Idi Ba'oven says, then I have a contradiction. So again, we're discussing this question whether Yeshna L'Shchita Mitzchilav Ad Soif or Ein Shchita Elo L'Soif. But now we're going to have something in connection. Now we're going to have something in connection with the Korban Pesach. So the question is going to be a long question. It's going to take us until the middle of the Amud to get to the actual question. We know, we've learned many times before that the Korban Pesach, first of all, you're not allowed to shech the Korban Pesach when you have chometz in your possession. And we also learned a lot about the Korban Pesach has to be shechted l'shmoy, and if it's one of the few korbanos that is shechted, or any of the avodas are done shaloy l'shmoy, then it's completely possible. So now, a Mishnah in Masechta Pesachim describes the case where a person, we know the Torah tells us, you're not allowed to shecht the Korban Pesach when you have chometz in your possession. So first the Mishnah talks about that if you shechted it in its proper time, l'shmoy, then a person would be chayev, because now he's brought a proper Korban Pesach in its time, and he had chometz in his possession, and therefore that would make him chayev malchus for that. Now continues Reb Shimon in that Mishnah uva moyed. Now during chol moyed, meaning any time after the 14th of Nisan. I mean, let's say for example, Rashi explains. Let's say your animal for your Korban Pesach was lost on the 14th, and you brought a different one. Now the original one turned up during chol moyed. So now chol moyed though is not the proper time to bring the Korban Pesach. So Reb Shimon points out, l'shmoy potter, at that point, if you were to shech the Korban Pesach l'shmoy, having in mind that it's a Korban Pesach, you would be potter for the fact that you have chometz in your possession. Now you're being over on the fact that you have chometz in your possession, but you wouldn't be over on this lav of l'sichat al-chometz dam zivchi, because you right now, what you're shechting is not the Korban Pesach. In the relevant Gemara in Pesachim, Rashi points out that actually, that we're going to have later in the Masechta, we're going to have a discussion about a concept called Shchita She'en Re'uya. Suppose you have the shchita itself, the mechanics of the shchita, are valid, but there's something else that causes the shchita to be invalid. We're going to have examples of that later in our Masechta. And the result is that you can't eat the meat. I mean, one obvious example would be if the animals are treifa, but you have a number of other examples that we'll learn later in the Masechta when we get to the dinim of Kisi Adam. So now, Reb Shimon holds such a thing is not considered a valid shchita. Well then, if you shech the Korban Pesach, outside the time, then it's a posel of carbon, so you're not able to eat it. So therefore, Reb Shimon would say that a person is potter if he had chometz in his possession. On the other hand, if he shechted it, namely that he says specifically that he's shechting it as a shlomim, that's the din. After all, as we've learned many times before, the korban pesach when it's outside the time, then it becomes a shlomim chayev. Then he would be chayev for the fact that he has chometz in his possession. Now, why is that? Because it's not the korban pesach, but the fact is, it is a kosher to carbon. In other words, Reb Shimon is saying the key factor is not whether it's a carbon Pesach. The key factor is it a kosher to carbon or not? So if you shecht it during Chol HaMoed or any other time during the year as a carbon Pesach, it won't be kosher. But if you shecht it as a shlomim, which is what it turns into outside of its time, well then, Reb Shimon would say, look, you know, the Torah says, Lo-sishchat al-chometz dam zivchi, don't shecht my carbon when you have chometz in your possession. And here it is, Hashem's carbon, because it's a valid carbon after all. Now, in that Gemara in Pesachim, the Gemara discusses it. Taima de shaloi l'shmoi. So you're telling me the reason why he's chayev is because he specifically said shaloi l'shmoi. He specifically said, I'm not bringing it as a Pesach anymore. Now I'm bringing it as a shlomim. Hostoma potter, which seems to imply that if he hadn't said anything, one way or the other, what he intends to bring it of that to bring it as, it sounds like he would be potter. Now, v'amai potter. Now, why should he be potter? After all, by default, Pesach v'shari mais hashana, shlomim. Who doesn't have Pesach during the rest of the year become a shlomim? So if he specifies it's a shlomim, sure, it's a shlomim, and it's a kosher carbon, and Reb Shimon is going to hold his chayiv malchus. But even if he didn't specify, it still becomes a shlomim by default. That's it. This is Rashi's Girsa, as usual, when Rashi says what the Girsa should be, then we usually have it that way in the Gemara, because the later copyists kind of followed Rashi in that. But Tosfos points out there was an older Girsa that says the discussion was why is he, even if he did it l'shmoy, why is it potter? After all, it automatically becomes a shlomim. So even if he said I'm shechting it as a korban pesach, what's the difference? The fact is, it's not a korban pesach anymore. Okay, in any case, so that was the question there in the Gemara in Pesachim. The Omer of Chia Baganda, so Rav Chia Baganda explains, Nizur kama pi chavura, it was thrown from the mouth of the group, meaning in other words, all the Chachamim, when they were discussing, when they pointed out this point in the Beis Medrash, then all of the Chachamim that were there, like unanimously called out and said that the answer must be Va'omru. When they said Chacham Ma'askinen, we're not talking about. Till now, we thought we were talking about where the owner lost his Korban Pesach and didn't find it in time and brought a different one, and now it turns up during Chol HaMoed. Now we're saying Chacham Ma'askinen, buy them Tmei Amesim. We're talking about the reason he didn't bring it Erev Pesach is because he was a Tomei Mes then. The Nitchin LePesach Sheni, and then he gets pushed off to Pesach Sheni. Well, therefore, just stumble a Shmoy Koi. So now, by default, this animal is going to be brought as a Pesach, because the expectation is, if he wasn't able to bring it Erev Pesach because he was Tomei, the expectation is he's going to hold it over for another month, and then he's going to bring it on, and then he's going to bring it on Pesach Sheni. Well, then in that case, then it means it doesn't automatically become a shlomim. So just some l'shmoy koi, we would assume that's going to be meant to do l'shmoy. V'hocha v'hai hu debo yakira. And only in a case like that do we say that in order for it to become no longer a Pesach, you would have to have Akira. You would have to explicitly say, I'm not bringing this as a Pesach anymore. I am turning this into a Shlomim. So, Ho'acha le'boi Akira. But implying in a regular case, you would not. Had it been not that he was Tomei Mes on Erev Pesach, but that he didn't bring it because of our initial assumption, because the animal was lost and he brought a different one, so now he's not bringing another Pesach this year, because of course he's not bringing Pesach Sheni once he brought Pesach Rishon, then that seems to imply that you would not need Akira. And in fact, just the fact that it's outside the valid time to bring the Korban Pesach automatically turns it into a shlomim, and then following Reb Shimon's logic, we would say he would be chayev if he shechted it during Pesach, having chometz in his possession, because after all, it is a perfectly kosher korban, and he had chometz in his possession. Now that we went through all of that background, says Reb Idi Bar Oven, here's the question that's relevant to our sugya. So if you say that the entire process of shchita from beginning to end is considered part of the shchita, well then, let's break down what happens during the shchita. If salem is filas shchita, from the beginning of the shchita, it already became possible because as soon as he starts the process of shchita, as soon as he starts touching any of the simonim, at that point it already becomes a korban pesach. Again, we're talking about it remains a korban pesach. Again, we're talking about that this is one which should have been. We're talking about the guy was tummy mess and he should have held it over for pesach sheni, and instead he's not. Instead, he's shechting it during chol hamoed pesach, and he's shechting it, and it doesn't automatically become a shlomim, again, because the expectation would be that it would be left over for Pesach Sheni. So therefore, so if you say that when he starts shechting, then it becomes, then you can say that it becomes posel right away from the beginning of Shchita, and therefore, so now it's a posel of korban, and therefore Reb Shimon is going to pater him for the fact that he had chometz in his possession at that time. Because after all, it turns out to be a posel of korban, because you can't bring a korban Pesach then. Eli amet ena l'shchita ela b'sof. But if you say like Rish Lakish, that the shchita, only the last moment of the shchita is considered shchita. So what happens? Let's analyze though. Given the shochet beipurta itfalei bepesach. Once he started shechting a little bit though, once he began the shchita process, once he started cutting through some of the simonim itfalei bepesach, then already it's pushed off from being a korban pesach because. The fact is, you know, you're not going to be keeping it until Pesach Sheni at this point. Now, automatically, it should turn into a shlomim. Because when does it turn into a shlomim? Idach kishochet shlomim kashochet. From then on, when he's shechting, is a shlomim, and it would be valid as a shlomim. Because already you've done something to it to make it that it's no longer suitable to be kept as a korban pesach, because you can't very well keep it now for another month and then bring it as a korban pesach. So if we said like Rish Lakish, then why would Reb Shimon, now fine, the halacha may or may not be like Reb Shimon, in fact, not necessarily it is, but still, the underlying question of whether Yeshna l'shchita metchilav ad soif, or Eina l'shchita elav soif, is going to be a question according to everybody. So according to Rish Lakish's understanding, Eina l'shchita elav soif, then why would Reb Shimon distinguish between, why would the Chavura have had to distinguish over here between the guy's tummy mess, and that's why this korban is supposed to remain a Pesach and will become a shlomim only if he said so. The very fact that he's shechting it now during chol hamoed will automatically take it away from being a Pesach and turn it into a shlomim. Omale Abaya. What? Yeah.
How can you call a shchita before the animal is dead? And by definition, the animal is not dead at the beginning of the shchita.
Right, but the fact is, obviously, in order to get to 51% of the true simonim, you have to first cut through 1% and 2% and 3% and so forth. What Rish Lakish is considering, though, that portion of it is not yet considered the shchita. The shchita, according to him, is the moment you reach 51% of each of the true simonim. So now the question is, though, Well, that's what Rish Lakish is considering. That's what we started the sugya by saying. He says, "Eina l'shchita ela b'soif." Only that last moment, when it becomes an actual shchita, is considered the shchita. Up until that point is preparatory for the shchita, but it's not the actual shchita yet. But in our case over here, the point of Rav Idi Ba'oven's question is, fine, it's not the actual shchita yet, but as a practical matter, once you reach that point, then you can't keep the animal alive for another month till Pesach Sheni. So therefore, as a practical matter, now, if you're bringing it as a korban, necessarily it has to be a shlomim. Well, if it's a shlomim, then it's a kosher shlomim, and he has chometz in his possession, and according to what Reb Shimon is saying, he ought to be chayav malchus. Why is Reb Shimon saying that if he shechted l'shmoi potter, why would it be potter? Because he's doing it l'shmoi. The fact is, it's not. Fine, we said nizrukam api chavura, that all the chachamim in the Beis Medrash explained that we're talking about it's a case where it doesn't automatically turn into a shlomim because he plans to bring it Pesach Sheni. But once he started shechting it during chol hamoed, clearly he's not planning to bring it Pesach Sheni anymore. So now, why should he be potter at this point? And the answer is, Omale Abaya, Sabaya answers Rabbi Idi Ba'oven, Nihidi Itzkelem Pesach. Fine, the animal itself, of course, has been pushed off from being used as a Pesach anymore, because again, at this point, we can't keep it around until Pesach Sheni. Midmei Pesach Mi Idchi, but is it pushed off from that the value of it should be used for a Korban Pesach, for a Korban Pesach that will be brought on Pesach Sheni? After all, the animal conceivably could be sold at this point. Because Rashi points out, at this point, this is definitely considered a mum kavua. There's no question this would be considered a major permanent defect in the animal, because of course you can't undo the fact that it's simonim were partially cut. And therefore, at this point, you could be poideh, like any psula amokdoshin, and then you could use the money for a Pesach. So therefore, we could still say that the shechita is still l'shem Pesach, even once he starts that cutting. Now, Tosfos points out it's not so simple, because what are you going to do with it at this point? Once you shecht it a little bit, then if it's a posel of carbon, if you're going to say it remains a carbon Pesach and it's a posel of carbon, then you can't. It would be fed to the dogs, like today for meat, because you can't eat it anymore. And the din is you're not poda kodshim, you don't redeem kodshim. Where the only thing you can do with that is give them to the dogs. And if Tosfos considers, if after he does the pidyon, he completes the shechita, then he's doing chulin ba'azara, it'll anyway be also to eat. Okay, so Tosfos gives an answer that, let's say, he does the pidyon, and then real quick he takes it outside before there's been enough time for there to be a significant shehiya, a delay in the shechita, which, as we're going to learn soon, is enough to make the shechita treif, and therefore, so now he manages to get it in just in time that he can finish the shechita, and it won't have to be given to the dogs. It will in fact turn out to be a kosher shechita. It just won't be. So now you could use the money towards another Korban Pesach. Says Abaya, that's enough reason to consider, therefore, that even the animal itself still is called a Korban Pesach. Even according to Rish Lakish, the fact is. He did start a process of cutting through the animal's neck enough to make it effectively a balas mum, and therefore now you can be poydet, and therefore the money would go to a Pesach, but therefore we can still consider that it itself still has the status of a korban Pesach. And the fact is, again, the result is it ends up being a posel korban because he's shechting it as a korban Pesach, doing chalamoid Pesach, which is not the time for it, and therefore it can still work, and we can still declare him potter for the fact that he had chometz in his possession. And continues Abaya, you're going to say, but no, in order to be poida an animal, the Torah tells us in Parshas Bechukosai, the hemidus of the hem of a herich, that you have to be able to stand up the animal in front of the koyanim, the gizbarim, whatever the people who are responsible for the treasuries of the Beis Hamikdash, and they have to evaluate the value of it, and based on that you do pidyon, and you're going to ask, once you started shechting it, then you're not going to be able to do that. But no, because v'hatnan, we actually learn in a Mishnah. Shochet b'shnayim o'roiv shnayim, if in fact, we're going to learn later on in our Masechta, if you shechted the two simonim of an animal, o'roiv shnayim, or most of the simonim, so you did an actual complete shechita, v'adayim hima fakeses, and the animal is still convulsively moving around, harei kachaya l'chol dvareha, then it's considered live, it's still considered alive for all purposes. Even though you did a full shechita, nevertheless, it's still considered alive, and therefore you could be poided. Tosfos points out that actually the Mishnah does not say so in so many words, but we have a Mishnah later in our Masechta. We're going to have a section of our Masechta that deals with the dinim of Tumah and Tara of food. And there, this point is going to come up, and there's a Mishnah over there that says something that says something along those lines from which we can infer it. Gilyon HaShas, Rabbi Akiva Eger points out that actually there is a more explicit Mishnah to this effect in Masechta Me'ilah. Okay, in any case, the point is that, yeah, so even though you shechted, even though you started the process of shechita, you haven't gotten to the point where it's a kosher shechita yet, but nevertheless, the fact is, even if you had done more than that, you could still do ha'amod of ha'arocha, and you could still be able to be poydet, and in those last moments, while its life force is leaving it, and still convulsively moving around, so the same thing over here. So therefore, says Abaye, that's not a question on, so therefore that's not a question on Rish Lakish then. Rishonim talk about, so what happens, does it have to be that the actual animal, this particular animal is in fact physically able to stand, or are we just talking about we consider that it should be roi, that it could, whatever the case, the point is that it can't be, the animal is completely dead, but here it's not completely dead. So at this point, then, the Gemara drops the discussion. So we have the usual rule is that when we have a machlokas, Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, usually the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan. Tosfos points out on the previous Amud that this point that Rish Lakish is saying, Ein l'shchita elo v'soif, we do find Rava saying such a thing in Masechet Zvachim. But in that case, we should follow the rule, even though usually the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan against Rish Lakish, the halacha is also usually like Rava. So the halacha ought to be like that. However, Tosfos says we don't list this among the things where the halacha is like Rish Lakish, because here Rish Lakish is not saying it on his own, he's saying it in the name of Levi Sava. So the implication of what Tosfos is saying seems to be then that the halacha, in fact, over here would in fact be like Rish Lakish, and we would say Ein l'shchita elo v'soif. On the other hand, the Rambam paskins according to the opinion that Yeshna l'shchita mitchila v'ad soif, which we just said it has an implication as far as the Korban Pesach, but it has an implication as far as various other cases of Kodshim as well. For example, the whole question of l'shma and shaloi l'shma that we've learned about in Zvachim. If you start the shchita process with a thought of Loy Lishma, is that going to be enough to pass all the korban or to make it that the person is not yotze or whatever? Would it have to be only elul of a soif only at that last moment of shechita? Okay. New discussion. The Gemara says, Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav, Hashoichet b'shnayim u'shloishim akoymus. If a person shecht in two or three places, so he does part of the simen in one place, and then he goes higher or lower on the neck and does another cut. Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Rav, Shchitosik Shera, that would be a kosher shchita. Now there are Rishonim who learn that it means that it has to be though at least one of them has to be the majority of the simonim. And the point is that nevertheless the other cuts don't prevent it from being kosher. Chitim Mechubetzus points out, I mean, so if you cut the esophagus, though, wait a minute, though, wouldn't you have a problem that as soon as you make a cut in the esophagus, then it becomes trefa? But the answer would be that there wasn't enough time of shahiyah, there wasn't enough delay between one cut and the next for that to be a problem. After all, I mean, by definition, in shchita, you cut through the esophagus at some point, and obviously that doesn't make the animal trefa because you're doing it as part of the extended shchita process. So over here, as long as you do it fast enough, then it should be fine. On the other hand, Tosfos has some questions on Rashi about that. If it's not roiv in one place, it can't possibly be a kosher shchita. And if there's roiv in one place, then what's the problem? So Tosfos points out there is the point, though. We learned the Gemara had mentioned in the first paragraph, and the Gemara is going to mention further on that when you do a normal shchita, normally the beis shchita opens up wide. The area where you shecht, where you put the knife in, ends up opening wide, because when the animal is alive, you have muscle tone that keeps the muscles taut. And then when you shecht, then obviously all of that loosens, and then you have it opens up wide. Here, you're not necessarily going to have that because of all those other cuts. And nevertheless, and nevertheless it would still be kosher. In any case, Tosfos gives a different explanation. Tosfos gives a different explanation from Shiltus to Rabbi Goin, that what we're talking about, Rashi is saying, we're talking about all the cuts are on one side of the neck. So you did one, and then above or below, you did another one, and then above or below, you did another one, etc. Rabbi Hoy explains, and Tosfos and a number of other Rishonim agree with him, that no, what we're talking about is that you did one cut on one side of the simen, and then a little, and then another on the other side, and altogether, when you add up the circumference of all the cuts, it comes out to Roiv, but there's no one cut that goes through Roiv of it. So then Rabbi Yehuda would be saying in the name of Rav that nevertheless it is, that nevertheless it is kosher. Okay. And then you have, Rabbi Gershom gives yet another explanation that we're talking about, that he did kind of on a diagonal. In any case, the point is that sort of Yehuda Amar Rav is saying that it is kosher. So the Gemara says, Ki Amrita Kamei de Shmuel. Rabbi Yehuda says, when I told this over to Shmuel, we often find in Shas that Rabbi Yehuda had learned by Rav, and then when Rav passed away, Shmuel outlived, Rav Shuda Goin tells us that Shmuel outlived Rav by 7 years, so after that, Rabbi Yehuda became Shmuel's Talmud and continued to learn by him for the next few years. So we find many times in Shas where Rabbi Yehuda had learned something from Rav, and then he told it over to Shmuel, and Shmuel would comment on it. Omali, so Shmuel says, that doesn't seem to work, but in Shchita Mefaras, Faleka, you need to have a Shchita that's open, and you don't have that. It has to be that the Shchita is clearly in one place, and it should be noticeable, because here you don't have, because here you don't have. Again, you have, according to Rashi's explanation, the point is that you need to have that the result after the shchita is that the muscles should relax and it opens up, and here you don't have that when you have extra cuts over there. And then if you have like Rabbi Hoy Goin, we mean that it means that you're cutting in a few different places around the circumference of the simen. You have to have in one particular place there should be noticeable the size of roiv of the simen. So Shmuel says it doesn't work. And the Gemara points out that after Shimon Lakish suffered in Shchita Meferas. In fact, Rish Lakish also holds that you need Shchita Meferas, which therefore would amount to saying that in this case it doesn't work. Do Amar of Shimon Lakish mean I am the Shchita Shehi Meferas? How do we know that the Shchita has to be open up? The pasuk describes people who are speaking lashon hara, and the pasuk uses the expression their tongue speaks falsehood like a sharpened arrow, but it uses the word chet shochot. So therefore, it's related to the word shchita. So the point is, we have to understand that shchita is in that sense like an arrow. Now, an arrow when it pierces a person or an animal, okay, it's not a valid shchita because it's piercing, but the point is, it only does in one place. It doesn't make multiple different cuts in different places. So therefore we learn from that shchita has to be mefodas, has to be similar in that sense to an arrow wound. The Gemara says, Masiv Rabbi Elazar. So Rabbi Elazar says, I have a question on this idea that you need shchita mefodas. The next Mishnah says, "Days oichin v'sakin v'shoichin." If two people together are holding a knife and shechting, afila echad milamayla v'echad milamata. Even if one of them is holding it higher up and the other one lower down, shchitasik sheder. Nevertheless, it's a kosher Mishnah. It's a kosher shchita. Now, on the face of it, when we're saying one holds higher and one holds lower, on the face of it, it sounds like they're holding two different knives, and one is cutting higher on the neck, and the other one is cutting lower on the neck. Shchitasik shera. Amai val laka shchita mefaras. Now, why, according to what you're just saying, it wouldn't be shchita mefaras? And Tosfos points out, according to Rashi's explanation, that what we mean is he did different cuts on different levels of the neck, or within the zone, which is kosher for shchita. Okay, well then, if we understand the Mishnah that way, that means clearly that they're doing exactly that, and nevertheless the shchita is kosher, despite what Shmuel and Rish Lakish say. If we say like Shiltus, and also Rabbeinu Chananel, Tosfos points out Rabbeinu Chananel learns this way as well, and other Rishonim learn this way as well, then it would mean that the Gemara could have answered that one of them shechted the Roiv, but no, because then you don't need the other one at all. The Mishnah seems to be implying that only the two of them together make it a kosher shchita, but how would that work? So Rabbi Yemi says no, because the Mishnah is not talking about two different knives. It's talking about one knife that's being held by two different people. Amalei Rav Abba. So Rav Abba says, does that really work? Yehochi, Heiner, Tzani Allah. Then what about though? We learn in a Braisa about that. What's the Chiddush that was saying that if two people together shecht, then it's kosher? The Braisa says, Ein choshesh in shema yitrfu ze al ze. We're not concerned that one of them is going to cause the other one to make a treif. Now, what does that mean? If you say it means two different knives that are being held by two different people, shocker, then we understand what the braisa means. The point is, they might rely on each other. And each one of them is not going, neither one of them is going to end up doing the roiv. According to Rashi, it would mean neither one ends up doing the roiv, because the fact is, each cut is going to end up, each one is going to think the other one will do roiv, and therefore I don't have to. According to Shiltus, it would mean that between the two of them, they're not going to do roiv, because each one is going to do only a little bit and figure that the other one will bring it up to more roiv. And nevertheless, the Mishnah is saying that we don't need, the Braisa is saying that we don't need to worry about that. So then Shapir, yes, you understand. Now we're detained. They might rely on each other. And each one will not, and there won't be a roiv accomplished as it, there won't be a roiv accomplished as it needs to be. Therefore, the Brai says, telling us that's not a problem. But if you say it's one knife and two people, then what do you mean? So what do you mean? We're not concerned that one of them is going to cause the other one to make a treif. Shouldn't the phrasing be that we're not concerned that one of them is going to end up doing drosa against the other? Meaning, in other words, that you have two people who are holding a knife, one at each end. And they might get careless. If you're talking about that people are using different knives, then fine. You could understand that maybe one of them might mistakenly cause it to be treif. But if you're talking about that it's all one knife, then it should be one of them might cause the other to do drisa, because one of them might. Pull the knife in one direction and the other in the other direction, and accidentally they're pressing down on the simonim instead of doing a back and forth motion. So then the braisa should phrase it that way. So doesn't that show that the Mishnah is talking about two different people with two different knives, and that shows that we don't need shittim afraid to ask? Amalei Rabavin, Sir Rabavin says to Rabava, now Tony Ein Choshin Shem Yidroi Suzalzeh. Fine, you can correct the wording of the Braisa. You can re-explain the wording of the Braisa that it means they might do Drisa one against the other. Fine, it uses the word Yitrufu, but that's what it means. In other words, how would they make the Chitatreif by accidentally doing Drosa one causing the other to do Drosa by holding the knife a little too firmly or whatever. Okay, so no proof from that Mishnah and that Braisa against the opinion that you need Shittim Afredas. Okay, the Gemara continues, Mustard Rav Albin. So Rav Albin himself says, I have a different contradiction. We learn in a Braisa, Shochat as a Vesh Lamata Vesa Kona Lamaila, if he shechts the esophagus lower down and the windpipe higher up, or as a Vesh Lamaila Vesa Kona Lamata, or the other way around, the esophagus higher up, the windpipe lower down, obviously both of them within the zone that you're allowed to shecht, shchita sekshera, then the shchita is kosher. Now why should it be kosher? V'had like a shchita mefredas. According to what we said, that you need shchita mefredas, you don't have that, because the cut of the shchita is in two different places, and it's not recognizable enough to be called shchita mefredas. At this point, the Gemara is assuming that shchita mefredas doesn't just mean, like we said, that the muscles have to be able to relax and the shchita area able to open. It means also that there should be noticeable where the shchita took place. And here it's not, because the cuts are in two different places. And the answer is, who moisiv la v'hu mefarik la? Rabbi Alvin asked the question. He also gave the answer. The shchita hasarika kumus. Because we're not talking about two different cuts. What we're talking about is where he did the shchita to begin with at an angle. So in other words, he started cutting inward on an angle. He started cutting in the windpipe, let's say, which is closer. Rashi points out he started with the windpipe. The Pashtos, the reason is because the windpipe is closer to the surface. So he started by cutting in the windpipe higher up, and then he angled the knife downward as he's going further into the neck and hits the vest, hits the esophagus lower down, but it's all, but it is in fact all one cut, and therefore it is one continuous cut, and therefore, and then so it comes out in the end. Of course, the one was above and one was below, but nevertheless, it is still one continuous cut, and therefore there, that would be kosher. But if we have cuts in different places, maybe not. Okay, so we don't have a proof. We don't have a proof one way or the other. We do have a rule that when we have a machlokas Rav and Shmuel, generally the halacha is like Rav in dinin iser v'heter, and so it is over here. The poskim do paskin like Rav that it would be kosher in two or three places, but subject to that machlokas of what two or three places means within Rashi and Tosfos' opinions. So the Gemara tells in this connection, ahuf Torah de ishchit b'shnayim u'shloshim makomos. There was an ox that had been shechted in two or three places, like we're saying. Ol Reb Yitzchok bar Shmuel bar Marta shokol mishufri shufri. Reb Yitzchok bar Shmuel bar Marta came in and took from the best of the meat of that animal to eat. In other words, obviously he held that the animal is perfectly kosher, and therefore, by all means, he can take even from the best of it. But Reb Zera says to him, Rebbe, didn't you teach us Mishnasenu b'shnei sakin u'beiz b'nei adam? B'shnei sakinin u'shnei b'nei adam, didn't you teach us that the next Mishnah that says that if two people are holding, holding and shechting, that means it's even when two people are holding two knives, so it doesn't have to mean, in other words, that it doesn't have to mean that it's two people holding the knife together. So actually, no, it's not, Reb Zera is not asking a question. He's telling us, Rebbe, with doing that, you have taught us, you have thereby taught us, as a practical matter, that you should understand the next Mishnah to mean, Mishnah Sena, B'shnei Sakin, Rebbe's Bnei Adam, that it is in fact talking, even you have two different people with two different knives, and nevertheless we're saying it's kosher. In other words, again, we just said it could mean not like that. It could mean two people holding the same knife, and the point is that we're not concerned about one doing drossa, but it doesn't have to mean that. It can, in fact, mean different knives, and that the shchita would be kosher if it was done in different places on the neck. Again, according to Rashi, at different levels, and according to Rabbi Chananel and the Shiltas and many other Rishonim, it would mean in different places around the circumference of the simonim themselves. Okay. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. We know that one of the things we mentioned before, that pasul shchita is called chalada. The word chalada comes from the word choled, which is a mouse or a weasel or some creature like that that tends to live hidden around the basements and crawl spaces of houses. So therefore, chalada is a so Tosfos points out that's another reason to say that in the previous case, the halacha is in fact that it's kosher in two or three places, because we see that Rabbi Yitzchok bar Shmuel bar Marta did that in practice that way. Tosfos brings a different girsa from the Bahag that says that Rabbi Zera asked him, didn't you teach us that the Mishnah is talking dafka when two people are holding the same knife? So how could you eat it? But then the implication would be that since Reb Yitzchok bar Shmuel bar Marta said, you know what, that's a good point, then I shouldn't be eating from this meat, then it means that it's not a problem. Because in other words, he changed his mind about what the Mishnah means and learned that it can mean, in fact, two different people with two different knives, and that it is kosher b'shnayim or shloshim mechaymus. So one way or the other, that ends up being the halacha. But in addition, of course, there is also the point, the halacha, Rav and Shmuel. The halacha is like Rav, so that's another factor as well. Okay. Next, the Gemara says, "Ha'u Torah de ishchit b'shnayim u'shloshim makayim." Oh, then we just had that. Okay. So, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. So again, chalada is one of the things that makes a shchita possible. Namely, if the chalada means, again, like a holder, like a weasel or a mouse or whatever, which is hidden, the same way chalada would be where the knife is hidden. So it can include that the knife is hidden under feathers or fur or something. And there's a few different cases we're going to talk in connection with the next Mishnah of a problem of chalada involving feathers, but here we're going to have something else. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. Echlad is a sakin, main simon the simon. If he stuck in the knife between one simon and the other, or postoi, and then he cut the simon. So in other words, what he did was so Rashi describes what he did was he put in the knife between one simon and the other, and then he did so now he did the one below the knife he did in the proper way of shchita. But then he took out the knife and then shechted the higher up siman in the normal way. So psula, that would be possible because he did the shechita of one of the shechita of one of the simanim in a way of chalada. Tosfos points out that now we're going to discuss Chalada in connection with the next Mishnah, and actually really we're going to discuss it more in connection on Daf Lamed Beis, but Tosfos points out, because we just said that Rav had passed all the Shechita Sheinim Meferas, this is a similar kind of thing where it's not completely Meferas, and therefore so it's true, the reason behind it is a different one, is because of Chalada, but nevertheless the Gemara brings it in over here. So again, so he stuck in the knife between one simon and the other, and cut the one simon using a normal back and forth motion going further in, like you usually do. Then he took out the knife and shechted the other one. Then it would be possible because now he did one of them with halada. So the Gemara says, "My kamash malon. What is Rabbi Yehuda? What's the chiddush of what Rabbi Yehuda is telling us in the name of Rab? Tanena. We learn in the Mishnah. Oisha hechod as a second tachas asheni, that if he stuck in the knife underneath the second simon or poskoi, and he cut the simon, Rabbi Yeshiva oimer nevela, Rabbi Akiva oimer treifa. They both agree that you can't eat the animal. The difference is Rabbi Yeshiva would say the animal is outright nevela, and therefore, as we've learned before, nevela has a tumah. You touch it or you carry it, you tumah." Rabbi Akiva says not nevela, it would be treifa, because he would consider that it's to a certain extent it would be considered it's considered enough of a valid shchita, so therefore it would be considered treifa rather than nevela. What's Rabbi Yehuda's chiddush? It says that exactly in the Mishnah. The answer is. And the Mishnah continue. I skipped a line over here in the Gemara. Hechvadas a second min simon l'simon or poskei psula tachas ha'ork sheira. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda continues in the name of Rab that if you put the knife under the skin and shechted, and then shechted the two simonim in the normal way, sheira, then it would be a kosher shechita, because the skin we're not concerned about. So that's the Gemara asks. My kamash malon tanena. We learn in that Mishnah. Oisha hechlod as a second tachas hasheni, that if he shechted the first simon properly and then stuck in the knife under the second simon, or poskoi, and then he cut it with a shchita, but again it was in a way of chalada where the knife is covered. Rabbi Yeshiva and Nevela, Rabbi Akiva and Metreifa. So Rabbi Yeshiva and Rabbi Akiva disagree. They both agree you can't eat it, but the question is whether it's Nevela and is Matamet Trumas Nevelas or not. Tosfos explains, in other words, that the point is that there's a greater chiddush in the Mishnah. You already shechted one simon properly, and nevertheless, chalada will pass over the second simon. And also, as a practical matter, Tosfos points out, you do the shechita of the first, you tend to do, when you do shechita, has to be a back and forth motion, you're usually going to do first back towards you, and then further. So it could happen that you cut through the first simon with a motion towards you, and then you're moving it away from you to cut the other one, and accidentally it gets stuck in over there between the second simen and the mafrekas and the neck bone. So either way it could happen, but the point is, in other words, that's a more practical example and therefore the Mishnah tells us that. So the point is, though, what is Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav's chiddush, that if you put the knife between one simen and the other? And the answer is Imam Asnissen. If you only have the Mishnah, Imam Asnissen, have Amina, Hani Mibim Lamatala Maila. The difference is, in the Mishnah, you're talking about that he's cutting from below to above. The Lord called it Kederach Shita was not the normal way of Shita, because, in other words, we're saying that you're shechting from within the middle of the neck going outward. That's not the normal thing. You shecht from the outside going in. But if you're going from above to below, as in his case, you are cutting deeper into the neck, you are doing in the normal way, in the normal direction of shchita, ema shapur dami, you would think that it would be valid. And therefore Rabbi Yehuda has to tell us in the name of Rav that nevertheless it is possible as well. In other words, again, in this case, in Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav's case, he did shecht both of them with an inward motion further into the neck, but one of them was with the knife stuck into the middle of the neck, and therefore that's what makes it possible. The Mishnah, you could understand that it means that one of them he shechted normally, and then he put the knife in behind the other one, between the other one and the neck. And the neck bone, for example, in Shechted going outward, which is not how Shechita usually takes place. Kamashmalan, therefore, Rabbi Yehuda has to tell us in the name of Rab that it is possible. Okay? Now, we said Tachas HaOrk Sheira. Rabbi Yehuda had also told us in the name of Rab that it is kosher if it's stuck under the skin. That the skin doesn't matter if that covers a knife. Now, the Gemara says, Bei Rab Amri. However, they said in the yeshiva of Rav, Bei Rav can mean specifically the yeshiva of Rav, or it can mean more generally the yeshiva. Anyway, they said Tachas HaOr Ein Yedea. They said that actually, if it's under the skin, we don't know whether that's a kosher shechita or not. Rabbi Yehuda is taking it as a given that the skin is considered something, an external factor, not something relevant to the shechita, and therefore if it's covering the knife, it doesn't matter so much. But now Bei Rav said, the Chachamim of Rav's yeshiva had said that Rav had said he's not really sure, and therefore we don't know whether it would be a kosher shechita. Well, the Gemara says, if we're saying, according to them, we're not sure, what if the knife is covered by the skin, whether that's valid? What about tachas matlis mahu? What about if he put the knife under a cloth and then shechted? So he covered the knife with a cloth and then he shechted. Would that be considered chalada or not? What happens if there's tangled wool on the animal's neck? So would that be also significant enough to make it that now it would be a possible shechita because of chalada? So in other words, you could ask maybe Rav's suffix is only about the skin, which is part of the animal itself, or maybe it would even apply to a cloth or something. Maybe a cloth is not something else, or maybe so maybe on the contrary, then that's not chalada at all. There are the Rishonim point out that we're actually talking about not Stam that he draped a cloth over the knife, but rather that he actually attached it to the animal's neck, for example, as a poultice, as a bandage on its neck or something. So is there that? And also Tachas Sema Masub, again, Tachas Sema Masubach Mahu. What about if it's under matted, tangled wool? Would that be considered chalada? Now Chassam Sofer points out, since we just said that the case with the cloth is where it's actually attached to the animal's neck. So now the question is, so let's say, for example, with kodshim, he says kodshim, we know you're not allowed to shear them. So therefore, having that wool in the way is considered more of a chatzitza, makes it more chalada than even the regular skin, for example, because you could say, or on the contrary, he says actually what you could say is that the cloth, maybe it needs it, because like for example it had a wound on its neck or whatever, and you're putting it there with a bandage, as opposed to this matted wool is maybe not considered so important to the animal. Now you could talk about, let's say for example by kodshim, maybe in other words he says maybe in fact it would definitely be chalada because you can't take it off anytime you want because it's kodshim and you're not allowed to shear them. He brings also that the Rosh has the Girsa the other way around. First it asks about the matted wool, and then it asks about the cloth. The point is, in other words, the wool is attached to the skin, but maybe then the question is, what about a cloth which is not even attached to the skin? Would the same din apply? So the Moses Teiku, we can't be sure, and therefore such things would be a suffix whether they're a kosher, whether they are a kosher shchita or not. Boy Rapapa, and Rapapa has another question. So we'd have to go to the Chumrah, of course. As Rashi points out, it's a Suffolk Daraisa, and Suffolk Daraisa, we always go to the Chumrah. Boy Rapapa has a similar question, has another question. Hechod b'miot simonim mahu. What about if he did Chalada only with a minority of the simonim? So let's say, in other words, he did most of the simon in a kosher way. Now at that point the shchit has been accomplished, or maybe we would still say that, that even after that the chalada could still apply to it. Now Rashi points out we're obviously not talking about the initial minority of it. There's no question it would be nevela as a result of that. The question is if after he did enough to be a proper shchita, then maybe he still can't do chalada until he actually finishes the shchita process and removes the knife altogether. And the answer is, again, Teiku, we can't be sure. So therefore, again, we have to go to Chumrah. Now, Rashi goes on and points out in some detail, before, when we looked in the first perek, we talked about hagroma, we talked about the dinim of shechting above or below the area where he's supposed to, and there we drew a distinction between whether he did hagroma at the beginning or the end or whatever, and we said that there also we had questions about if he did one third normal and one third higrim and then two thirds normal and one third higrim, and we had all kinds of questions like that. So Rashi points out that we do then there also for the same reason we have to go to Chumrah because of that, because we can't be sure. In all those cases, we might hold like the opinions that say that's treif. Now we did say Rashi then goes on to point out we had a previous case where you shechted through half of the windpipe and then waited and then finished it, and we said that by a bird it would be kosher, because we said again we had the discussion Rav and Rav Kahana whether mechza, whether you do exactly half, is it considered completely valid or is it according to Rav or is it not, and we said that when he did the roiv, so therefore we at that point we don't care about the miut, but Rashi says no, this is all a dichui, this is all just something that the Gemara had used as like an answer just to get out of a jam basically. But in reality, though, we would not say that. In reality, any part of the shchita process in which something is done improperly, then it would be no good, even if it's a part after a valid shchita has already been after you've already done roiv of the simanim, and it's enough. Nevertheless, you still can't do any of these things, hagroma or chalada or any of them. Rashi finishes off by bringing from the Bahag, from Halachas Gedolos, that Shehiya, the same thing, because we can't be sure, for the same reason we have to be Machmir, as far as Shehiya as well, and therefore we can't use it in that case, we can't eat it in that case either, if there was Shehiya even after a valid Shchita was done. Now this is all according to Rashi. Tosfos, though, Rabbeinu Tam and Tosfos and other Rishonim disagree with Rashi. What are you talking about? They say, after you did the most of the simonim, the hechsher, then at that point, as the Gemara called it before, machatech bosar ba'alma, in effect, you're just cutting dead flesh. So who cares whether at that point you did shehi or hagroma or any kind of thing like that. So therefore, Tosfos explains in the name of Rabbeinu Tam, a couple of possibilities. It means that he did chaloda when we say over here hechled miut simanim. What he did is, in other words, he stuck in the knife in such a way that he sticks it actually through the simon itself and then cuts the roiv of it in the proper way, but the minority of it is still covering the knife. So then the question would be again whether we say chaloda under the skin, whether that's considered chaloda or not. So we could say under the skin, you could say is one thing because the skin has nothing to do with shchita, but part of the simen obviously does have to do with shchita. On the other hand, the skin is an intact thing, but here it's only part of the simen. This is all one way that Rabbeinu Tam explains it. And then Rabbeinu Tam brings a second explanation that what we mean is he did a real chalada and did a little bit of the simen, then he took out the knife and did the rest of the shchita in a proper way. So would we say that it's only possible if you did most of the shchita that way, or only you did a little bit of the shchita? So you have those two ways in Tosfos, and then you have a variety of other ways that Rishonim have of explaining what the case is. Rabbeinu Gershom explains in a way somewhat similar to Tosfos. He did the shchita of a little bit of the simonim, did the chalada between one simon and another simon in that miut, and then he did the rest of the shchita normally. So he only did a little bit of simonim, so that's not considered the beginning of shchita yet, or maybe not because he did chalada during any part of it. So the Gemara answers. So in any case, according to any of these explanations, the Gemara answers tapu. We can't be sure in that case. Let's go a little further. The Mishnah continues. Hashechet beis rosh and keachad. If a person shechts two heads of animals, one at the same time, so he had the animals standing neck to neck and he shechts them, then that would still be a valid shechita, as long as, of course, he has a long enough knife for the purpose. Shnayim osin besak and reshechtim. And if two people are holding onto the knife and shechting, afilo echad b'mayel v'echad b'mata, even if one is higher and one is lower, then the shechita is kosher, as we've talked about. First of all, the hashechet beis rosh and keachad. echad. We said it's talking about kodshim, where lachatchila you shouldn't do two of them at the same time, but b'dieved it would be kosher. And as far as the two people, we just talked about in the Gemara before, whether it means two people, each one holding a knife at a different level of the neck, or whether we're talking about two people holding one knife together. In any case, we say shkitas ekshera. The Mishnah continues, Hittis is a rosh v'vasahas, if he chopped off the head all at once, psula, then it would be possible. That's the classic drasa. If he was shechting and cut off the head all in one motion, then it depends. Now, it is possible, after all, to cut off the head with a side-to-side motion of the knife, not necessarily with a chopping motion. So then it depends. If the knife is large enough that you have the width of a neck, the Gemara is going to explain, it means the width of a neck beyond the neck. So let's say, for example, the neck of the animal is 20 inches across. So if you have a knife that is 40 inches long or longer, then it's kosher, because then you conceivably could do, there's enough to be able to do just a pulling motion, just a motion towards you, and be able to shecht all in one stroke without doing jirasa. But if not, then not. Similarly, same thing, if he has two animals neck to neck, and he cuts through both of them together, same thing. So again, if you have at least one neck's width, meaning beyond the other one, so in other words, in this case, the knife would have to be the width of three necks, then it would be kosher for the same reason, because then you have enough leeway in the length of the knife to be able to do a single motion towards you or away from you, and still be able to cut through the whole thing without pressing, without doing jirasa. Now the Mishnah continues. This that we're saying, that you need a certain length beyond the neck, is only when you're doing only a forward motion or only a backward motion. But if you went back and forth like a normal shkita, I feel a kolshahu, then even if the knife is much smaller, I feel a bit Ismail, even if you use just a little scalpel, kshera, then it would be kosher. A scalpel is a very small knife. And Rashi points out, the Gemara is going to explain, that we're talking about an Ismail, a knife like that. An Ismail is the type of knife, for example, we find in the Gemara, they would use it for a bris milah, they would use it for surgery in general. Sometimes it has little points sticking out on the top end of it. So we'll talk about in the Gemara tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, does that cause a problem with the shchita? So we're saying that nevertheless it's not a problem and it is kosher, as long as, of course, you made sure that those protrusions don't touch the shchita anywhere. Okay. So the Gemara says, Minohani Mili, where do we know that we said that you can't do drosa, that you have to do a side-to-side motion? Omach Shmuel says, the same pasuk that we brought on Amar Aleph, Dama Kroch, Chetz Trochot, Lashon HaMirma, the Lashon HaMirma Dibber, the pasuk says, their tongues are speaking falsehood and Lashon Hara, like a sharpened arrow, and now an arrow cuts with its movement sideways, and then it cuts or pierces. So the same way, you learn from that shchit has to be with a motion to the side and not a chopping motion. Tonet Rabbi Shmuel in the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, they taught a different way that we learn it. V'shochat, the one the pasuk says v'shochat, which means to shecht. Ein v'shochat ela u'moshach. The word shochat means to pull. Now, Rashi Tosfos points out at the beginning of the parak, Tonet Rabbi Shmuel had taught a different point. V'shochat, we said v'mokam sheshochatehu, the place where the animal bends is where you should clean it out and make it ready to eat. But in other words, Tonet Rabbi Shmuel would say you can actually learn both things. You can actually learn both dinim from that from that word, the shochat, and therefore, so you can learn from that it means v'shochat. Although moshach, the word v'shochat means to pull, means a pulling motion. Now, one point is, in other words, if we're learning from a pasuk from Nevi'im, the pasuk Chetz Shochot, there's a pasuk from Nevi'im, you can't really learn an actual din from there. It would be only an asmachta. As opposed to if we learn from a pasuk in the Chumash, then it's an actual full-fledged, so therefore we primarily say it's Halach L'Moshe Mitzinai, and you have a hint for a Nevi'im. But if you say you're learning it from the word V'shachat, then it means that it's an actual full-fledged drasha. So in the Shachat Alo Moshe, V'cheinu Oymer Zohav Shachot, as you have the pasuk that refers to drawn gold that's soft enough and then ductile enough to be able to pull it into threads. So we see that Shachot means a pulling motion.
And you also have the pasuk that Shmuel quoted Chetz Trochan Lashonim Mimadibir, where we see that it's a motion like the motion of an arrow. So the Gemara says, "My va'omer, why do you need two psukim? V'chitema zohav shachot shenitva kechotu." Because you could argue the word zohav shachot doesn't mean from the word shchita. Maybe the shin is a prefix, and the main word is chot, which means a thread, which means gold that's pulled into threads or wires. Who is what it means? Toshma chet shachot l'shoinam. Where there it's clear by the word chet shachot that it means from the lashon of shechting. You have many places in Chassidus where it talks about a deeper meaning of this idea, of this phrase, Ein v'shachat ela u'mashach, that it means the shchita is meant to bring the animal to a higher level. And similarly, whenever we talk about shchita, we're always talking about bringing to a higher level. So here you're bringing the animal to a level where now you're able to use the flesh of it, and then to be able to eat and then gain energy to serve Hashem, and then bring up those sparks of it to Kedusha. So Umoshach, you're drawing forth those sparks of Kedusha that are in the animal and bringing them to Kedusha. There's even a sicha that Rebbe talks about in Parshas Shlach, which is coming up soon. Parshas Shlach is the Shabbos after next. And you have the expression where Moshe says to Hashem after the Chet HaEgel, when Hashem is threatening to destroy the Jewish people, so Moshe davens and says that then the goyim are going to say by Yishchotein b'Midbar, that Hashem killed them in the Midbar, and it would be a chil Hashem because they're going to think you don't have the power to bring them into Eretz Yisrael. So what's this expression by Yishchotein that ever develops an interesting point in a sicha? And it's also Ein v'shachat elo u'moshach. Moshe is well aware that if the Jewish people die in the Midbar, it's going to be in order to bring them their neshamas to a higher level. So therefore, it is vayishchotein, but nevertheless, he's arguing that the goyim are not going to realize those kinds of nuances, and it's going to make a chilul Hashem. Okay. Going on in the Gemara says, Rava have a bodikle gira l'rab yoyna bar tachlifa. Speaking of arrows, Rava used to examine arrows for rab yoyna bar tachlifa. We learned earlier that a Rav is supposed to check the shchita knife. So here, rab yoyna bar tachlifa would use arrows for shechting, the shochet ba'oifa bahadi de parach, and Rabbi Yonah bar Tachlifa was such an expert shot that he could shecht birds while they're flying. We said in the Mishnah that it is kosher if you do only a forward motion or only a backward motion. The fact is, the post can point out, you're not supposed to do that l'hatchila. B'diyeved, you did, then we're saying it can be kosher. L'hatchila, you're supposed to do back and forth. But here, in this case, Mefoshim points out, there's no choice. The Pre-Chadash points out, if you want to be able to shecht the bird while it's flying, practically speaking, this is the only way to do it. Another point as well that the number of the poskim point out is the whole reason why l'chatchila you shouldn't do only one or only the other is because you might accidentally do drosha. Sure, if the knife is large enough, you won't have to do drosha, and therefore the shchita could be kosher. But what if you do? But with a knife, obviously there's no possibility of drosha, and therefore there's no issue with it. And then posts can talk about different other angles on it. You have a point also, for example, the fact is the animal, the bird then falls down onto the fact is the bird afterwards falls down after it's shechted, of course. Does that create a problem? Because you're supposed to check the simonim right away to make sure that nothing went wrong with it. But if the bird falls on the ground, you're not going to have the opportunity to do it. So the Ma'arik talks about that and says that won't necessarily be a problem either. As far as this matter of going only forward or only backward, by the way, the Alter Rebbe points out a diuk from Rashi's Loshen over here, that even if the knife is long enough, only if to begin with you meant to do halacha v'ahava, and the fact you meant to do back and forth, and accidentally you did the shchita with only one. But according to the Alter Rebbe, is saying if to begin with you plan to do only one motion, then we're still concerned about drosha, and therefore it should be possible. Okay. In any case, so Rabbi Yonah bar Tachlifa then again would use these arrows to shecht while the bird is flying. So the Gemara asks, "V'duma ovid chalada?" Fine, but don't you have so Rava would check the arrows that they have the sharpness and the smoothness that a shchita knife needs. But the question is, "V'duma ovid chalada?" What about though? It might end up doing chalada. It might stick into the bird's neck instead of doing a proper shchita from the side. And the answer is, Chazinin did feed the mafarmi because we can see that the feathers around the neck have been cut through. So if it had been chalada, then you wouldn't have that. Then the end of the arrow would stick out between the feathers, and it wouldn't cut them. Okay, the Gemara asks about boy kisui. Fine, but don't you have to do kisui adam for the? It's a bird, and birds you have to do kisui adam, as we're going to learn later in the Masechta.
V'chitem amdu achasu lei. So you're going to answer, what's the problem? He finds where the bird was flying when he shechted, and he goes over there and puts some dirt on it. Doesn't work. When you shecht, you have to put dirt. You have to put dirt below where the blood is. Where the blood is going to go, loose dirt, and then you have to put more dirt above. Because the pasuk says you should shecht it. You should cover it with dirt. Offer leinema, and bet offer means in dirt. Offer leinema, ala bet offer in dirt. Malam and shashirka tzarech shidin. Offer lemaila, lematav. Offer lemaila. So he has to put dirt below and above. And Rashi points out, it can't just be. You're not just going to say the dirt that happens to be wherever the bird is flying, because that's going to be packed dirt, and that doesn't work. Offer lemata means it has to be loose dirt. In fact, on the side of it here, it brings up the reef when he brings this din, he brings more explicitly. Yes, we offer tichoyach lamata, offer tichoyach lamayla. There has to be loose dirt below and loose dirt above. So how are you going to have that? And the answer is the mezamen leila offer the kol piska. What he would do is in the entire area where the bird is going to be, where the bird is flying, the whole valley, that he says, he would make sure he would go there in advance and go and loosen the dirt. Or make sure that there was already loose dirt there from beforehand, and that way, wherever in the valley the bird is flying and he's going to shoot his arrow and shecht it, then automatically the blood will fall on loose dirt, and then all he has to do is go over there and put more loose dirt on top, and therefore he's done proper kisi adam. So he does all that. If we say that it was loose dirt to begin with, then Rashi says that he would say verbally that he's going to use that dirt for this purpose, and that's considered noisen. That's considered that he placed the dirt over there. So therefore he would. So if he's going and actually digging up the dirt and loosening it, he doesn't need to say anything. But if he finds loose dirt there already, then he would need to verbally say that the dirt is there for that purpose, and therefore, it would be valid. On the other hand, there are Rishonim who learn that you don't need to. That's enough that the dirt is there, and you don't have to actually say anything verbally. So according to them, it just means that he would either dig up the dirt in advance or make sure that there was loose dirt there wherever the bird is flying.